Lord, I'm asking that you would take over here and glorify your name. Lord, whatever the need is of each heart that is here this evening, Lord, meet the need of these people and glorify your great name in our lives, that we may serve you with all of our hearts. And when we go into eternity, to hear your well done. B'shem Yeshua, amen. The title of this message is, Return to Me, and I Will Return to You. Between the Jewish New Year's Day, Rosh Hashanah, and Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, are the 10 days of repentance, also called the Awesome Days. One Hebrew word for used to express repentance is the word shuv. Let's all say it, shuv. Shuv means to turn back or return. The reason I had you say that is that God is giving an invitation to everyone. If you've never turned to the Lord before, whatever your need is, He welcomes you to turn to Him. If you've known the Lord and walked away from Him, the greeting is return. To Jewish people who, like their forefathers, veered away from God's instructions and turned to heathen gods and declared, it is useless to serve God. These are words from the last Hebrew prophet to speak to Israel before the era of Tanakh closed, Malachi or Malachi in Hebrew. These words are there. That there were those of our people, our Jewish people, who said, it is useless to serve God. God has a word of advice that will set anyone straight who thinks that he or she feels in his or her heart, it is useless to serve God. And I want you to listen to these words. These are the words that Adonai has said to all people who need Him. Shuvu Eli. Can you say it together? Shuvu Eli. Return to me. Return to me. V'yashuva Aleichem. Can you say that? V'yashuva Aleichem. And I will return to you, says Adonai, the Lord of hosts, the Lord of multitudes. Malachi 3:7. In what is often referred to as the oldest book of the Bible, Iyov, translated Job, the man Job is described as being Tam V'Yashar. Those are amazing words, because you couldn't say that about a lot of people. Blameless or perfect and upright. Job chapter 1, verse 1. Now, Hasatan, the adversary that we have translated Satan, is introduced in Tanakh. He's not introduced in the New Testament. He's spoken of in the New Testament, but he's introduced in Tanakh, which Christians call the Old Testament. We Jews call Tanakh. And he is the accuser of the brothers of God's people. So that's his job, or his, he feels that's his calling. He's an enemy of God's people. And he comes before God to state this, that Job's commitment to God rests entirely upon God's many blessings to Job and his family. And the hedge of protection God has afforded him has made him the way he is. So Satan tells God this, that Job's love for God and commitment to him would change were God to allow Satan to test Job. Lo and behold, God allows Satan to test Job. Now, a lot of people feel this sounds like a fairy tale. But if you've ever tried to follow the Lord and never tried to live righteously, you will know that there is a power to make you stumble and to make you go against God. That power is the enemy, Hasatan, the adversary, translated Satan. The beginning of Job's testing is in Job 1:13, the first chapter, the 13th verse, and it continues through chapter 31, verse 40. He goes through things that, if experienced by the average person, even one with staunch faith in God, many would be willing to throw in the towel. You can't believe some of the things that he goes through. So God says to Satan, go ahead, test him, because God was confident that Satan, that Job would not deny the Lord. So what happens to him? In addition to the theft and killing of all of his livestock, Job receives an additional message that, quote, the fire of God fell from the sky and burned up the sheep and the servants. He loses his servants. They're destroyed. Shortly thereafter, the Chaldeans swept down, stole Job's camels, and killed more of his servants. While that message was still fresh in Job's mind, he receives word that while his sons and daughters were feasting and drinking wine at the home of the oldest brother, a mighty wind swept in from the desert and struck the house. It collapsed, and all of Job's children were killed. This is overwhelming, isn't it? Put yourself in that position. I'll tell you, if one of my kids were killed, and one of them came close to it a few months ago, it leaves you stunned. He lost all of his children. And what would you say if all of this happened to you? What would I say if it happened to me? Job arose, tore his robe, and shaved his head. That was a sign of mourning. And in an unbelievable symbol of undying faith in God, here's what he said. Adonai, the Lord has given, and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised. You know, I've been through some deep water myself. And when I thought of what Job said, at the time I wasn't feeling, praise you, Lord. I was feeling, oy vey, what's next? Have you ever felt that way? Oy vey, what's coming next? These words then added, in all this, Job did not sin by charging God with wrongdoing. Job 1, 20 through 22. However, when Job experienced a series of physical blows to his body, he had one physical problem after another. He was in agony. It caused some of the worst suffering a human being could experience. Guess what happened at that point? Nothing negative had been said before this. He said, I rue the day that I was born. I wish I hadn't been born. Eventually, Job does, in the midst of his suffering, use presumptuous words in addressing God. He later realizes his error in word and attitude. He realizes the greatness and holiness of his Creator and how, compared to his God, he feels insignificant. Job addresses God. Job 42, verses 5 and 6. My ears had heard of you, but now my eyes have seen you. Therefore, I despise myself and repent. Repent. It's interesting, the word he uses here is not shuv. Nichamti, from the root nacham, to be penitent. You know what it comes from? Comforted. What does repentance have to do with comfort, you might ask? Here's what it has to do with comfort. When you feel guilty in your heart and you feel detached from everything good and righteous, and you say, why am I even in this world? What is my life all about? And all of a sudden you meet the living God and you sense his forgiveness, and he cleanses us by the power of his Spirit, and his Ruach, his Spirit, comes into our hearts when we receive him. And you know what the Spirit, the Ruach Elohim, is called? The Comforter. You know, that's better than tranquilizers. It's better than sleeping pills. It's better than a bottle of alcohol. It's better than a Tempur-Pedic mattress. It's wonderful when God takes hold of you and says, yes, I forgive you. Not only do I forgive you, I take you in my kingdom, and you're mine. I grant you forgiveness and chaye olam, eternal life. Now, if you're thinking of living eternal life, in this world, what's happening to it, that doesn't sound too good. But in God's word, there'll be no more death, no more crying, no more pain, no more separation. There'll be the love of God, and God is our Father with us forever, and our in his eternal glorious kingdom without death or pain or any suffering. Adonai came as Mashiach and gave us this invitation through Yeshua the Messiah. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. That's the way our people used to express coming under the influence of a great rabbi, taking the yoke upon us, his yoke, getting under the yoke with him, and learn from me. And here's what you learn. The Messiah says, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your nefesh, for your soul. True rest is real shalom in God. You know, shalom is the great greeting in the Middle East. By the Jews, it's shalom. By the Arabs, it's salam. And there's no more a place of unrest than the Middle East. But God wants to make true shalom in each and every heart. And so the Messiah came to bring forgiveness of sin and eternal life to both Jew and Gentile. And he says, come to me, all you who are wearied and burdened, and I will give you true shalom. I will give you true rest from God himself. Matthew 11, 28 through 30. We're going to pray now. I'm going to ask the Aaronic blessing upon all of you. And afterwards, James and David are going to come up here. And anyone who has a need spiritually, anyone who is going through deep water and wants to be prayed with, James and David will pray with you. I would invite you all to ask the Lord God into your heart that you would find true rest and true shalom, peace in him. Let's pray. Yivarechecha Adonai v'yishmorecha. Your heir Adonai panavilecha v'chunecha. Yisa Adonai panavilecha. V'yasemlecha shalom. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you and give you his shalom, his peace. B'shem Yeshua HaMashiach Tzidkenu. Lord God, as we go to partake of this food together, strengthen us and help us to live to honor you. And Lord, whatever the need of these people who come forward for prayer is, meet them in their need and bring peace and deliverance. B'Shem Yeshua. Amen. You're all in.